Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, greetings, everyone. My name is Sandy Pope, and I serve Bridgeway as the Associate Pastor of Discipleship. And I'm so excited to be sharing God's word with you today. I'll be continuing the sermon series, God's Got Your Number, what everyday numbers mean in the life of the everyday Christian. I want to thank our senior pastor, Dr. David Anderson, who is resting on sabbatical, for the opportunity to share God's word with you. And as always, I give thanks to Almighty God. Without him, our creator, absolutely none of this would be possible. In fact, let's go to him in a word of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, giving you all thanks, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for this time together that we have to rightly divide your word. May your words go forth as truth, dear God. May the Holy Spirit be the speaker and the guide. May we be edified by everything that you have allowed to be said here today. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Well, for the past 3 weeks, you've learned about how specific numbers correspond to particular Bible themes. For example, you learned about 1, unity, 2, union, 3, completeness. And today, I will be talking about the number 4 and how it symbolizes God's signature in creation. But first, did you know that there were some very, very significant examples of things that happened in fours in Scripture? For example, there are 4 Gospels by 4 Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are 4 witnesses of God on earth demonstrated as miracles, signs, and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 6:1-8 mentions 4 horsemen. Sometimes they're referred to as the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. They're the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. And then the name Mary was very, very popular in biblical times, but there are 4 Marys that stand out specifically in Scripture. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, who was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And then there's Mary, wife of Clopas. She was the other Mary at the foot of the cross at the crucifixion. And even some of our favorite biblical passages include the number 4. Like one of my favorites, 1 John 4:4, which says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And then the cross has 4 points. It has left, right, and top, and bottom. Well, God's signature in creation has been the subject of a lot of media attention in the past couple of weeks due to the recent NASA images of the James Webb Telescope. Really beautiful images of the galaxy and all that God has created. And the interesting thing about this telescope is it's not located in some conservatory here on Earth. It's actually 1 million miles away from Earth, taking these beautiful, beautiful images of God's creation. It brings to mind Isaiah 40:26, which says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, he who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one, not a single one is missing." Amen. So how does the number 4 correspond to God's signature in creation? After all, aren't there really 7 days in creation? Well, yes, there are. The first 3 days of creation, we see the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Elohim, doing some magnificent things. On day 1, daylight is created. On day 2, the sky is created. And then on 3, land, bodies of water, trees, and plants are created. Consider these first 3 days of creation as a divine outline without all the details. It's sort of like, you know, the painter, Bob Ross. Have you ever heard of him? It's sort of like watching him do an outline. He does an outline of the sky, then he does an outline of like the ground, and then he has like happy little trees strewn all about. And then he puts in the detail. Well, similarly, on the fourth day of creation, we see God do more significant vastness and showing his almighty power as he adds the major detail to the tapestry of creation. I'm going to share those events with you by reading Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And here is what the word of the Lord says. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night, and let them be signs for seasons, for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God sent them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning on the fourth day. So just to summarize everything that God created on the fourth day of creation, he created the stars. He created the overall universe, which includes planets, nebulae, and galaxies. He created the sun to govern the day, and he created the moon to govern the night. These things on the fourth day were created so that everything that was created on the fifth and sixth day would have the following four things: direction from the stars, north, south, east, and west. Seasons, most regions have winter, spring, summer, and fall. Time, not to govern God, but to help humanity measure things in hours, days, months, and years. And light, many different sources of light that provide illumination, brilliance, brightness, and radiance from the sun, the moon, and the stars. God noted that all of these things were very good, thus placing his signature and stamp of approval on the fourth day of creation. And any theory or any mythology that tries to take credit for God's awesome work of creation is a forgery and a lie. Which brings me to my next point, my first point of the message. God's creation is undeniably authentic. The triune God created the universe. God the Father created the universe, but Colossians 1:16 also tells us that all things were made and created through Jesus Christ. So therefore, Jesus Christ is also the creator of the universe. And Genesis 1:2 tells us that the Holy Spirit was present during creation, hovering over the bodies of water. So the Holy Spirit was present during creation. Now, some theories claim that the immense complexity of the universe as we know it today was coincidentally created by a massive Big Bang explosion where all space, time, and energy came into existence in a single moment. There are theories, and then there's theology. Amen. Theology is the study of God affirmed in the Holy Scriptures. And theology teaches us that God's attributes demonstrates his ability that far exceeds human comprehension and man-made theories. Theories can only fathom through limited human wisdom what may be possible. But theology tells us that with God, all things are possible. Amen? Jeremiah 32:17 says this. It says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your great outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." The universe has such precise detail, order, and symmetry that many scientists have no choice but to acknowledge a creator. So here's some simplified theology for you. Whether it was a bing, bang, or a boom, or a divine finger snap, God said, let there be, and the universe came into existence with all of its beauty and complexity. It was an only God moment, showing us that nothing is too hard for him. Amen? You with me, church? All right, hallelujah. So in the detail and order and symmetry of the universe, God knew what the exact distance and precise measurements that the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets in the solar system, what they all needed to be. And this will blow your mind. God knew that the Earth needed to be precisely 93 million miles away from the sun. A million miles too close, we'd be burned to a crisp. A million miles too far, we'd be popsicles. God knew that the Earth needed to rotate tilted on an axis of 23.5 degrees at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. We don't feel it going round and round, but guess what? We don't fall off of it either. Amen? God knew that gravitational forces needed to be in place to keep the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in its place so that nothing collides into each other. In addition, there exists an estimated 100 billion to 200 billion galaxies in the universe. The universe that God created is vast, and it's still expanding. His words, let there be, and his signature continues to reverberate and create. We ought to give glory to God right now for all of his amazing power, for what he has created. And we see God's glory in all of it. He sends us signs, and he shows us things about himself, about his very character and creation. The sun is at the center of everything, and everything revolves around the sun, just like Christ should be at the center of everything, and everything revolves around him. Amen? The sun rises and the sun sets, and we see God's faithfulness. And when we live to see another day, we thank God for mercies that are renewed each and every day. Science cannot deny the existence of God. And not all scientists are atheists, but many noted scientists are former atheists. When they studied science and they saw God's signature on creation, they repented from their unbelief. Here are some scientists here that you're going to hear about. Dr. Francis Collins, Dr. Sarah Salviander, Dr. Alistair McGrath. When they begin to study the human genome and science and Genesis, they realized that there was a creator, and they dug deeper and realized that that creator was God Almighty. Collins said this in his book, The Language of God. He said, the God of the Bible is also the God of the human genome, and he can be worshiped in a cathedral and in a laboratory. Alistair McGrath said this. He says that Jesus Christ is now the oxygen of his existence. God can change anybody, people. Don't give up on the people in your life that don't believe. If they look up close enough and examine the heavens, they will see that God's signature is over all of it. Amen? And to deny the Creator as God is to deny Christ himself. There are still many who suppress the truth about God is. It says this in Romans 1, 18 through 21. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. God has shown it to them. They see it every day. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Let me break that down for you. It's like going to a museum and looking at a beautiful painting and ignoring the signature on the painting and giving credit to the paintbrush, and then worshiping the objects in the painting. So they will be without excuse for not giving God his due glory and not coming to know him personally, because he has given so much evidence that he is God and that he exists. Amen? Also know this, and this is very important. Your destiny and your future are not written in the stars, hello, or the constellations that they form. Only God gives you a future and a hope. Can I get an amen? Does somebody know what I'm talking about out there? Put it in the comments. Only God gives you a future and a hope. Also, the seasons of your birth month do not determine your character and your personality. Come on now. I don't know what I would be if I was, had some personality of a star or a planet like Venus or Mars. Can you imagine what I would be like? But, you know, God warned the people of the Old Testament about worshiping creation, and I still think this applies today. He says this in Deuteronomy 4:19. He says, "And beware, lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you will be drawn away to bow down and serve them," things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. Look only to God Almighty, who created things, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present simultaneously, and keeps the earth in its balance and keeps the earth spinning without everything caving in on itself. Amen? Now I'm going to move to our next point, which is God's signature in creation was embedded in you before the foundations and before the creation of the world. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, that God knew you before anything existed. It is astonishing to me, and really meditate on this, that the God who created the universe with such complexity is knowable and personable, and that he wants to have intimate relationship with his creation. Even coming up with a plan to save humanity after sin entered into the world. Think about it like this. When sin entered into the world, God could have said, "Planet Earth, you know, I'm done with you. You're on the bench. Mars, suit up." But he didn't do that. Through God's love, grace, and mercy toward us, he created a way for us to be reconciled through him, through his son, Jesus Christ. And once a person repents of their sins, a transformational transaction takes place that is symbolically finalized like a signature of authority on a check, even. If this was a check, it would look like this. Bank name, God's riches and glory, paid to the order of God the Father, cost, the cross, amount, the precious and priceless blood of Jesus, memo, paid in full, signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now cash that check and live as one of God's redeemed. If you're one of God's redeemed, say so in the comments. Just like the beauty of the universe, you yourselves are a unique masterpiece. The complexity of the human body is just as awe-inspiring as the universe. The human body is a single structure, and it comprises of billions of smaller structures of four kinds: cells, tissues, organs, and systems. That's a whole other sermon all in itself. It says this in Psalm 139:14. It says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it too well." If you go up to verse 6, it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." This is why when you are broken in pieces from life, you don't run away from God. You run to the God who created you in the first place, he's the only one who can put you back together again. Amen? And when God created you, he didn't create junk. He didn't create a mistake, and he did not create garbage. So just as we are gracious to others, remember to be gracious to yourself. And just in case anyone is experiencing any spiritual amnesia, I do from time to time as well, here is what God says about you. He says that you are a masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10, created by him to create for him. He says that you are more than a conqueror in Romans 8:37. He says you have a future and a hope in Jeremiah 29:11. He says that nothing can pluck you out of his hands in John 10:29. He says he delights in you even when you don't delight in yourself in Psalm 18:19. And he says that absolutely nothing, not even creation, can separate you from his love. You are created to worship God also. You know, I am so grateful for the skilled musicians, for Minister Ronald Green, and for all the singers and the band that we have here. But we were created to worship God, not just on Sunday. And worship is giving God reverence and honor every day of the week. But when we come together here in corporate worship, it is really something that is very, very special. Relish in that. Now, you see me over here, I'm dancing, you don't have to do it like me. But think about the words of the songs that we're singing as we're singing worship. And just worship the Lord. Worship him with all of your being. Let all the distractions just move out of your way. And as they are singing over you, just worship God, your creator. Amen? So my third point. God's signature is in the times and in the seasons. Now, as I mentioned earlier, on the fourth day when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he created time and he created seasons. Now, as we see ourselves progress through different phases of life and different seasons, we begin to change and we begin to age. I just experienced a birthday last week. And at one time when we effortlessly bounced out of bed to start the day, some of us get out of bed and we sound like a box of Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. Yeah. But in whatever season that you are in, it is so important to keep Christ at the center, the way that God displayed it for us in creation. It's important for your Christian growth that you grow in your discipleship so that you can discern the times and the seasons that we are living in, namely the end times that we are living in. Jesus provides us with many warnings of things that are to come and the seasons that are to come and even the seasons that are here now. He says this in Matthew 24. He says that there'll be false Christs. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. We see these things happening. Famines, earthquakes, that people would betray one another, people would be easily offended, that there would not be much love toward one another. He tells us to watch. He doesn't tell us the day of his coming, but we know that Christ is coming soon. So watch for that season. And nature and creation suffered when sin entered into the world. And just as we see people morally declining, we see creation steadily declining. We see and feel changes in the atmosphere and the weather and the environment. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we should absolutely be concerned about the environment and be good stewards of the environment. But we don't idolize and worship the environment or creation. But Scripture shows us that God's very creation is crying out to him to be made whole again. It says this in Romans 8:22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Both humanity and creation are crying out come soon, Lord Jesus. Which brings me to my fourth and final point. God's signature is in the new creation. The curse is reversed. Jesus said in John 14 that he was going to prepare a place for us and make all things new. Here are some things and fours that are God's signature in the new creation. There is a throne in heaven in Revelation 4 surrounded by four living creatures who never cease to say what we sang today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And in Revelation 7, verse 9 through 10, we see this. It says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number of four things, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. And God is making all things new in four ways. I'm going to do a comparison to what he created in Genesis and how he's making it new in Revelation. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, we see the creations of the heavens and the earth. In Revelation 21, 1 through 5, we see the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. In Genesis 1, 16, we see that the sun was created to govern the day and the moon to govern the night. But in Revelation 22, 5, it says there's no more need for the sun or the moon. It says, and God will be no more, and they will need no more light or lamp, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign with him forever. And as a result of sin and sorrow, death and sorrow entered into the world in Genesis 3, 14 through 19. But Revelation 21, 4 says that there is no more death and sorrow. It says there are four no mores. It says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Amen. Neither shall there be mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Somebody give God glory up in here. And then the fourth one, the curse is initiated when sin came into the world in Genesis 3, 14 through 19. But Revelation 22, 3 through 4 says the curse is reversed. It says this, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. A new day is coming where we will be released from the old, and we will transition into the new, into God's new signature on his new creation. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I have a practical application for you. It's just one, not four. Do this. Watch a sunrise or a sunset and just glorify God and have a Psalm 19:1 moment. Just do that. It says this in Psalm 19:1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Take a picture and hashtag it Psalm 19:1. And listen, I just want to say this to anybody who may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. The God created all things wants to have a personal relationship with each and every person. He wants you to know that your signature, his signature, can be on you as well. If you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all you have to do is acknowledge God as the mighty creator, acknowledge what his son Jesus Christ did for you in his death on the cross and that he rose on the third day, repent of your sins, and accept him as Lord and Savior. And maybe you can say a quick prayer like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you created the heavens and earth and everything. And I believe that you created a way for me to be saved through your son, Jesus Christ. Today, I repent of my sins and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. It is in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Bridgeway, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure talking to you about God's awesome creation. Go out and relish it. In Jesus' name, amen.